Come, Holy Spirit, come by the most powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Our first reading began with this question: who can know God's counsel? Or who can conceive what the Lord intends? The answer is no one. No human being, that is. We cannot understand the mind of God. This is a theme that runs all throughout the scriptures, one that I've mentioned to you before. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God does not think and act like we do. And this is at the foundation of our faith, right? Faith is putting our trust in God, especially when we don't understand. Believing that He does, and walking by faith. Our faith doesn't always make sense on a human level. It can often be quite difficult for us. It's a struggle when God's doing things that just don't make any sense to us. That's when faith is tested. That's when faith is purified. I think we have an example of that in our gospel today. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. On a human level, that doesn't make any sense. But in the light of faith, what is Jesus trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that we need to know what we're getting into, that if we want to be his disciple, it's not free. There's a cost to discipleship, that we have to be willing to put him before everything and even before everyone. That if we love our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our brother or our sister, or our own life, if we love them more than we love Jesus, then we cannot be his disciple. He must be the first. He must be the center and the foundation of our lives. And we must be willing to follow him no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice. He goes on to say, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I heard a speaker one time at a conference put this in what I think is a very brilliant phrase. A half disciple is no disciple. A half disciple is no disciple. I should probably give credit to that quote. It's from Dr. Jonathan Reyes. I didn't come up with that. But it's true that discipleship is all in. I want to talk about one aspect of discipleship. Really, it's just another word for discipleship. And it's pertinent today because at the end of Mass, we're going to be filling out the annual stewardship forms of time and talent and our commitments to the parish. And so I want to just briefly speak about stewardship. Because I think there's insufficient understanding of what stewardship is. You know, we hear this word maybe a half a dozen times throughout the year. It comes up every once in a while. And it's very easy to kind of relegate stewardship to just this little corner of our faith. And it'll come out a couple times a year or maybe when I'm writing the check. Right? But that's a very impoverished understanding of stewardship. Stewardship is one way, one lens or perspective through which we can view the entire Christian life. Stewardship is actually basically the same thing as discipleship, just looked at from a different perspective. So what is stewardship? I think it's helpful to understand stewardship by comparing it, contrasting it with what it's not. Stewardship is not ownership. Stewardship is not ownership. That's the difference. A steward does not own what's been entrusted to him. It doesn't belong to him. He's not the master. He's the servant. Something has been given to him, entrusted to him by another who is the true owner and the true master. And the steward doesn't get to do whatever he wants with what's been given to him. He has a responsibility and an obligation to do with it what the master has asked. Not to follow his own wants and desires, but those of the owner and of the master. This is how we should view our entire lives as Christians. We are stewards. We are not owners. We are not the masters. If I'm the master of my own life, then I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's only room for one master. And everything that we have been given has been entrusted to us, and we're called to be stewards of it, which is a real responsibility. We're not just bystanders. We have a task to accomplish. God wants us to use what he's given us, but not for our own will, not according to our own desires, but according to his. That's how we express our gratitude for what we have been given. That's how we give glory to God. And so each of us, it's a fundamental decision. Am I a steward of my life, or am I the owner of my life? Is my life about me, or is it about God? That's the difference. And as Christians, as those who call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ, we can only be stewards. Everything ultimately belongs to God, even our own life. And so this is how we're called to engage our faith. This is how we're called to live our faith, from this attitude of stewardship. And it applies to our own personal investment, our own personal growth in our faith, and how we live it out, not just here in the parish, but in the parish as well, obviously, but how you live it out in your family and in the workplace and in the world. To see yourself in everything that you do as a steward. A steward will one day answer to the owner and to the master for how well he governed what was given to him. But I think it's really important that we also have this attitude as a parish. That as a parish, we're called to live stewardship. That this is supposed to be an essential part of our identity, of how we live, of how we operate, of what we do. And I think it's worth kind of reflecting on this just a little bit. I just want to ask you a question. Just answer it in your own mind. Whose parish is this? And what I mean by that is, to whom does this parish belong? It certainly doesn't belong to me. But it also doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is our master, our king. We are his stewards. And we have been entrusted with a great responsibility as a parish to keep safe what has been entrusted to us. But it's not ours. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Jesus. And it belongs to Mary, to whom we've entrusted and consecrated ourselves. And it's so important that we have this attitude. Again, stewardship is a great responsibility. We have to invest. We have to be involved. We have to be engaged. We're not bystanders. We have to let our voice be known. We have to take an interest, but as stewards, not as owners. So that ultimately the direction, the decisions, the way of life that we exercise, that we live as a parish, is not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about what we would prefer. It's about asking ourselves, what does Jesus want? What does our Blessed Mother want? And how do we know that? How do we know what they want? That's the great gift of our faith, that God has revealed to us what he wants, what he expects of us. And so by embracing that and by living that, we become good stewards of all that has been entrusted to us. As I said, this also applies on a more personal level in terms of how you get involved, how you engage, how you accept this responsibility. I'm sure you've all heard there's kind of a traditional threefold distinction when it comes to stewardship: time, talent, and treasure. So just a brief word on each of them. Time. We all know our time is limited. We all know we have to make choices. We have to prioritize what we do with our time. And I just want to say that we have a significant number of incredibly generous people in our parish. And I just want to publicly say thank you. Thank you for all of the time that you invest in our parish. But our goal, our desire is that everybody be involved, that everybody be active, that everybody take a role. So as we fill out these the stewardship forms where you sign up for different ministries, different service opportunities in the parish, just want to ask everybody to be generous, to give of some of your time to God and to our parish. He always rewards us when we're generous. Talent. Each of us is a unique individual. We all have unique gifts and talents that God has given to us and that He wants us to use to build up His kingdom. Each of you has unique abilities and skills that you've developed, things that you're interested in, things that you like doing. Those are the ways that God is asking you to get involved. Take advantage of those gifts. And so as you're going through that form, if there's something not on there that you would like to do or that you think would be beneficial, let us know. You can write it down there at the bottom. If you have something to offer that isn't on there, then let us know, because we want to take advantage of the gifts that God has given you. Lastly, a word on treasure. At the end of our gospel today, Jesus said, in the same way, anyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean all of us are called to live lives of extreme poverty, right? Our possessions, money, are good in and of themselves. They're gifts from God. But if they become an obstacle, if we love them more than we love Jesus, then we cannot be his disciple. And so as an antidote to that, as a safeguard against that, God has asked us to tithe. And I've spoken of this before. Right? Tithing is an act of trust. It's an act of gratitude, giving back to God the 10% that he has asked from what he has given us. He could have asked for a lot more if you think about it. It all belongs to him. Tithing is also different. I think it might be helpful to hear this distinction. There's two types of giving in the church, tithing and almsgiving. Sometimes they kind of get conflated a little bit, but tithing is an act of justice because that 10% belongs to God. It's us giving him his due. Almsgiving is an act of charity above and beyond that 10% out of the goodness of our heart. Right? And with everything that God has given us, he asks us to be generous. Now, I know tithing is hard. I know it's a challenge, but it's actually not that complicated. I think everybody has a rough idea of maybe what they earn on a monthly basis. Calculate 10%. Right? And that's before taxes. It's before bills. It's before expenses. It's before you, right? God gets the first fruits. God gets the best. And God promises us, he promises you that if you give him 10% off the top, there will be enough left over. He promises you that. God is always faithful to his promises. And when we accept this responsibility, when we give our 10%, we're not just giving it to the parish, we're giving it to Jesus. Remember, it's all about him. We're giving him the right and the control so that he can decide what to do with that money. We let go of that control because it belongs to him. And in the very near future, we're going to have available for the parish electronic or online giving so that you could maybe set it up automatically if that would help you to maybe be more consistent or if you travel a lot. So be looking for that in the near future. To close, I just want to point out something that St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows generously will reap generously. You all know this much better than I do, right? The harvest is directly dependent upon, among many other things, how much seed is planted. If you don't plant enough seed, you're not going to have a full harvest. Right, well, that's true spiritually as well. The more we sow, the more we plant, the more we give, the more bountiful harvest we reap. Because God is never outdone in generosity. And as St. Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver. And he promises to always give us more than we need in return. And so as individuals, as families, as a parish, let's embrace radical discipleship, which includes embracing radical stewardship. And if we do this, we will be amazed at the abundant fruit that God brings about in our lives.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.